Dear Church, a very good morning to each and every one of you. We thank God for a time of worship, a time that we can just rejoice for who God is and the things that God is doing in our lives. The past few weeks, we were looking at some important biblical characters and some of the lessons that we can draw in terms of the way that we live in this world. And we thank God for the word that God has given to us. Today we want to look at the book of Habakkuk. It is one of the shortest or maybe least read, but yet the most important books of the Bible. Habakkuk is an interesting book because even Paul, the apostle, when he writes on the gospel of justification by faith, he speaks about it in Galatians chapter 3 verse 11 and Romans chapter 1 verse 17. You know, what makes this book unusual? We see it is a debate between a prophet of God and God himself. And so there is a debate that's happening in this particular book. And from this particular book, what we are going to see is about having faith, trusting God no matter what. That we need to be giving ourselves in total obedience to God, because God is full of just and God is a God was sovereign, and he knows what's happening in this unjust and this violent world. Let's pray and ask God as we spend some time together to draw strength from God's word, that each and every day God's word continue to be our guide and our strength. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this book of Habakkuk, O God, that we can learn lessons, O God, about our lives, about discipleship, about faith, about our confidence, and about our trust in you. We pray for guidance, God. We pray for your presence in our life. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. You know, in many biblical accounts, you can't help concluding that following God brings a life of surprises. You know, whatever plans God's people made, and however they try to figure out God's plans, they are constantly greeted with surprises. You know, there are numerous narratives in the Old Testament and also equally in the New Testament about how, you know, God brought surprises in the life of people and how, you know, interesting God works in our lives and in the ways he deals with the world. For example, I think every one of us are aware of the siege of Jericho. You know, God tells the people of Israel to march around the city 7 times. And imagine, he says, just march around the city 7 times singing praises to God, and he will bring down the walls of that city. And it happened, crushing down without a weapon being used. And you know, even instead of using a large army, God speaks to Caleb and says, you know, bring down your force to 300. And I believe, you know, Caleb was just shocked, but what's happening here? But because of the word of God, you know, brings down the strength to 300. And with that 300, they were able to win a large enemy. You know, even in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize, you know, God, Jesus did amazing things. He took a boy's lunch and he was able to feed 5,000 people. And he was able to walk on waters. And also, unexpectedly, he gives a disciple the power to do so. Now, today, we are in this life, we are facing surprising moments. Yes, many of us like to have positive surprises, surprises that will please us, you know, in terms of our promotion, in terms of our career, in terms of our family. But there are certain surprises or certain things, you know, that really takes us by surprise. Maybe various hurts, disappointments. When you receive a call from the doctor's office saying, you know, things are not looking so good in your health. Or maybe something has affected your workplace. And you're there. And in moments like that, how do we exercise faith? There are moments we become disappointed with what's happening in our life, and we become disappointed with God. How do we exercise faith? How do we have confidence in the God who gives us hope and peace? In the book of Habakkuk, there are three chapters in this particular book. From each chapter, we see Habakkuk is teaching us about faith, about how we should be having biblical faith, how we should exercise confidence in God and to be found obeying God at every stage of our life. Firstly, when you look at chapter 1, Habakkuk, in this particular chapter 1, he is just honest with God. In other words, faith deals honestly with the problems. It deals honestly with the problems. Let me read a couple of verses in chapter 1. He says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen or cry out to you violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds." And he says, "Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Habakkuk comes before God and he deals honestly the problems that he saw, the injustice that was around, the things that was happening in the world. He just brought to God and said, Lord, it's hard for me to understand why you tolerate evil that the people are doing. Though the people pretended as if they were belonging to God, but they were practicing all kinds of wrong actions, but they went unpunished. If you look at the book of Habakkuk, you realize, the nation has actually sunk into a deep moral and spiritual decline. Violence, strife, contention was seen. God's law and commandments have been pushed aside, resulting in much injustice. Justice was not to be found anywhere. Habakkuk was able to see, during the previous king, he was able to see a spiritual revival that was happening. Now he witnesses a spiritual decline that was taking place. And so he comes before God. He was just honest before God. He was just transparent. Faith deals honestly before God, my friend. He comes in verse 2. He says, Lord, as if he's, he tells God, "Lord, how long must I call for help? But you do not listen or cry out to you violence, but you do not save." He sees God as if God is so indifferent to what's happening in the world. And he wants God to be found doing something. In verse 3 and 4, if you read, you realize he's almost like accusing God that God has been so inactive. Right? In verse 3, he says, "Why do you make me look at injustice? Lord, why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" He says, "The law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails." He feels as if God is not doing anything, my friend. But in verse 5, God says, "And I'm going to do something." But Habakkuk, you're not going to like it. That's the way God is responding. And if you read verses 12 and 13, you realize he feels it as if God is so inconsistent. Because he hears about an invading heathen nation, the Babylonians coming to attack God's people. And he says, Lord, you are holy. You are using wickedness in order to accomplish your means. When you look at the first chapter, you realize that God wants us to be honest with him. Faith deals honestly in the sight of God. We need to be honest. We are struggling in our faith. If we are struggling about God, if we have question about God, if we have question about what's happening, why he has allowed certain calamity in our life, why certain things are happening to our life, I think we need to be honest before God. He doesn't judge God, but he was just transparent. He poured his heart before God and says, Lord, why? In other words, his, you know, faith is honest. Faith wants an answer. Faith brings things before God because God is just. God wants us to be honest before him, my friend. When you do read the book of Psalms are another wonderful reminders. Many of the Psalms are written by the psalmist David, right? He pours his heart to God. He speaks about his fears, his struggles, his pain. He even questions God, how long? Job, also a great man of God, also expresses deep anguish in the midst of incredible grief and suffering. Hannah, you know, complained loudly about her child, childlessness. And if you're hurting, my friend, God doesn't want you to just cover it up. God wants you to be honest before him and speak to him and tell him how you feel. If you have a question about him, you know, speak to him. When you read the New Testament in the Gospel according to John chapter 20, verse 25, I think every one of us is familiar with this particular incident. When Jesus rose from the dead after the resurrection of Christ, you know, John, the apostle Thomas, walks into the prayer meeting and he says, unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas was just honest. He says, you know, I will not believe unless. When you read the passage, you notice that Jesus did not reject him or even refused him. Jesus graciously allows Thomas to do what he needs to do in order to believe. Dear friends, are we honest in the sight of God? Because God knows what's happening in our life. He knows our fears, he knows our hurts, he knows our sins, he knows the temptations that we are struggling. He knows the situations we have difficulty to overcome in our life. Are we honest? Because faith is honest in the sight of God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? He loves honesty. Secondly, when you look at the chapter 2, you know, from 1, we look at chapter 2, you realize, you know, he starts by saying in chapter 2, he says, Lord, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts, right? And he says, I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. So he is, you know, what's happening in, when you look at chapter 2, the faith waits. Faith waits on God. He says, I will stand at my watch. In other words, he says, I'm going to build a watchtower. I'm going to see everything that's going to happen. He decides that he's going to wait for God's answer at his own, on God's time. So Habakkuk says, Lord, I'm just going to wait on your time, O God, and on your word, whatever you have said, because I believe in your word, and I just want to, you know, just wait on your word and your time. If you look at the prophecy that God is giving, you know, firstly, he says there is a revelation that God is giving that he's going to destroy Babylon, right? And he's also giving another promise in this particular passage. You know, waiting on God's timing is essential. It's essential to our faith to mature, my friend. Waiting also helps us, right? It reveals our motives, our intentions, or even our character. When you look at the writings of Paul. Paul always speaks about patience and faith. Right? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he speaks about it. He says, you know, about patience and faith. And he says, your faith is enlarged. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, he encourages them to imitate those who go through faith and patience. And these are the ones who inherit the promises of God. Notice that is always a connection between patience and faith. So faith waits. Faith waits on God, on God's timing, on God's word, on God's promises. When you look at the writings of James, James speaks about faith, right? In chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he says, faith produces patience. And he also says, the testing of your faith produces patience. So in the scriptures, if you realize, patience and faith, it works together. And so when we have faith, we are just waiting on God. Just remember a story about two frogs that fell into a tub of cream. One of the frogs looked at the high sides of the tub, which was too difficult to crawl over, and so the frog said, it's hopeless. I'll resign myself to death. And so it sank to the bottom. Now the other one was so determined, it started swimming in the tub. It kept swimming, Something might happen. So patiently it was swimming in the tub. And then he found himself kicking. And what was happening? In the tub there was of cream became a solid platform of butter, and it jumped to safety. So faith waits, my friend. Faith doesn't give up. Faith waits upon God, upon God's word, upon God's timing. Are we willing to wait today? God wants us to wait. And we need to be exercising faith, just being obedient in the sight of God. Lastly, let me conclude, in chapter 3, it's a beautiful passage, because in the closing passage, Habakkuk makes one of the strongest statements about faith. And sometimes we say the best is saved to the last, and that's the way Habakkuk is actually ending his particular passage. In chapter 3, verses 17 to 19 onwards, you realize he starts by saying, though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fails and the fields produce, what's happening, let me stop here for a while. Faith glorifies God. He says, though the fig tree does not bud and there is no grapes on the vines. In other words, the first scenario he's giving, the fig tree does not bud, right? There's no grapes in the vine. It refers to, trusting for the future. There is no sign that these things will ever come to be. And in other words, I do not know what about my future, but I still trust God. Even though the fig tree does not bud, I'll still trust God. And that's the way Habakkuk is trying to say it. And then in verse 17, if you continue reading, he says, though the olive crop falls and the fields produce no food. The second, image or scenario he's giving, though these what happened fails. In other words, he refers to those things that we are trusting in the present. These are symbols of the present means. Even the present is taken away from me. My faith glorifies God. That's what he says. My faith glorifies God. Even though God takes away my present blessings away from my life. Job was a great example. God took everything. But he was still firm. And he was still righteous in the sight of God. Third scenario, when you look at it, he says, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. The sheep and the cattle are symbols or things that people in those days, they trust, because it was something they brought from the past.
the reserves. Even though there are no reserves for me to fall back during difficult times, there is no reserves for me. In other words, you know, there is nothing for me. That's what he says. If there's nothing for me to lean on, he says, I will lean on to God. In verse 18, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. In 19, he says, the sovereign God is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. It enables me to tread on the hills. You know, can you imagine? Can you look at the image he's putting here? Even though everything is taken away, I'll still rejoice. Even in the worst of times, my friend. Are we bold enough to say the words of Habakkuk? Then I will exercise faith during the worst of times. He chose to rejoice in God. Because Habakkuk puts his relationship with God above circumstances. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He saw the supremacy of God. He saw the omnipotence of God. He saw that God was sovereign. That he could rest on the promises of God's word and rejoice knowing that God is in control of everything. Living in a troubled and a turbulent time is evidence of God's sovereign grace, my friend. The message of Habakkuk, you know, stands out. He is committed to rejoicing to God, right, regardless of the circumstances. Even though the world may fall apart, even though there is no silver lining that he could see, he's committed to be joyful in the sight of God because he says, God is my strength. God is there, he says. Even though sufferings are there, God is there. Even though loneliness would be experienced, but God is there even in the midst of my loneliness. Even though in the midst of my challenges. He glorifies God. Faith glorifies God, my friend. A strong faith really glorifies God and will trust the greatness of God. And that's why Paul, the great apostle, was able to say these words, right? We are very familiar with these words of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, and also in chapter 4, verse 4, right? He commands us. And what is the command? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Which includes painful trials in our life. He says, rejoice, always. Dear friends, is our faith glorifying God? If things are taken away from us, are we still able to rejoice and glorify God? Because biblical faith glorifies God, my friend, no matter what. Let me conclude by sharing a story about John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. One day, John Wesley was walking with a troubled man who expressed his doubt as to the goodness of God. And so John Wesley was having a conversation with this troubled man. He had a lot of questions. And this man said, you know, I don't know what to do with all this trouble and with all these problems that I'm facing. At that moment, John Wesley saw a cow looking over a stone wall. And so he brought this man, you know, to see the cow, which was looking over a stone wall. He says, do you know why that cow is looking over the wall? Why the cow is looking over the wall? No, said the man, who was so worried. And Wesley said, the cow is looking over the wall because she cannot see through it. It's looking over the wall because it cannot see through it. And that is what you must do with your wall of trouble. Look over it. And that is faith, my friend. Faith not only is honest in the sight of God, faith not only wrestles in the sight of God, faith waits. Faith waits, just leaning on God's word, on the promises of God's word, in God's timing. And faith glorifies God. Faith glorifies God. We are to see beyond the wall, because God is there to help us. Let's pray. Let's pray that, you know, we will, our faith will grow stronger. We will be much more rooted in the Lord, that nothing will be able to separate us from loving and serving the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of knowing you. We pray, God, that our faith will be much more rooted in you. Help us, Lord, to bring our fears to you, our questions to you, O God. Help us, Lord, to wrestle with you, Father. And help us, Lord, to grow in our faith, that we will wait your time, your way, at every moment, O God. Even though things will be taken away from us, O Father, help us to rejoice. In whatever circumstances, O God, help us to know that you are in control of everything in our lives. We just love you, Father, and we want to bless you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.